So would you pray with me, and then we'll receive the offering and we'll move towards the message. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you have invited us to participate with you in what you want to do in the world. Help us to say yes in every single way. Help our church family, Avalon Church, as well as the other churches in Orlando and Florida, and the United States and the world. Help us to be united together as one family in your name. We love you and we give you honor and glory. You are our hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share a little bit with you. If you're new, I want to encourage you. What we want to do, especially through Sundays and through our services and all the programs that we have, is we want to help you connect, discover the love that God has for you. And maybe you're here, you've not been to church in forever. We want you to know you're welcome here. Maybe you just moved to the area and you're looking for a place. Our hope is that we can give you all the information that you need about our church and about Jesus, that you can continue to walk with him and grow with him. And so just want to let you know, if you're new, on the bottom of that bulletin, there's a connection card and there's a box on there where you can say that you are a first time or a new guest here. I would really encourage you to mark that, drop it in one of the boxes at the doors on your way out. Maybe you have a question, maybe you have a prayer request. We would love to get to know you, pray for you. So I want to encourage you to do that. And also, every month we have what we call the item of the month. It's a way that we can reach out and help others. And this we just did VBS, and you guys, we have just tons of stuff in the office from what you donated, and thank you. But for today, we're starting our new item of the month for June, which is really helping our kids go to camp and experience a camp that will point them towards Jesus. You know, we have so many kids, many of whom come to the church, but some of whom don't. And we want to provide opportunities for all kids to be able to go to camp without any issues. We never want finances to be a problem to keep people from experiencing that. And so we have two ways that together we can come together and contribute. One is helping to sponsor students, like last month with VBS, on the wall outside in the lobby, right outside the offices. There's places where you can pull off $15 or $20 or $30. The money's not there, actually. You pull off the little tag, and then you're commit to give that amount of money. But also on the other wall, there's a place where you can, you know, pull off snacks and some of the different things that they need for camp. So that's there, and we're really excited about what's happening with camp. One more thing I want to share with you. We have just begun a brand new system for online giving that is absolutely amazing. And I wanted to show you, would you go to the slide with the little logo or icon that has Avalon Church? Nope, not that one. The one with, it looks like a little guy running or something. And I apologize, Jim, there it is. All right. So our new system on every single page of our website, so that you don't have to try to figure it out, because that was the hardest thing before. I had a hard time. I like to give online recurring, meaning that Raylan and I don't have to pull it out, that we don't have to remember it, because there are times when, you know, a month will go by and we just never thought about giving to our family. So years ago, we just made a commitment. Let's do recurring giving. And our system was a little difficult. And I'll be honest with you, I'd try to do it on my phone and I'd screw it up every time and I'd finally give up and I'd just go to the computer so that I could use it and do it right. Now, I'm not computer illiterate, but I probably could use some help. Well, this system helped me so much, because every page has this little logo, and if you click it anywhere, it just is so obvious. It's like, how much do you want to give? Where do you want it to go? Thank you. And that's it. I mean, it's just awesome. And for recurring giving, it really, really helps. So I wanted to encourage you, because every church in America, as we go into summer, is kind of one of those times where you go, because for the church family, you know, we're gone so much, people go, you know, to the beach or go on vacation or whatever, that it's easy to forget that your family still is doing everything that they're doing. And so recurring giving is just awesome. And I wanted to encourage you, if you could consider Avalon Church your church family, I would really encourage you to consider giving online. And Jim is sending out some emails that have information about some of the benefits of this system, but this system saves us a ton of money in online giving. And so we can tell you more about that later. All right. Real quick. And you can go to the YouVersion. Yeah, there we go. Every time we do a message, we try to have the slides available for you in the YouVersion app as well as the scriptures. And I want to encourage you to use that. But today, especially, I'm going to show you some pictures that I think are really good. You know, over the last couple of months, actually since I've been pastor here since January of 18, which is just crazy to think it's been 18 months, I use Jesus' words, his prayer, all the time. These words are some of the most impactful words in my Christian life. When Jesus said, let's see if it'll work. There it is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, you remember when he said this, the disciples had asked him how to pray. And when I read these words at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, I mean, what does this even mean? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when I look around and I read the news, I look at what's happening in politics, I look at what's happening with terrorism around the world or with refugees having to flee their country, with child trafficking, with all of this stuff in the world, you go, this obviously has not happened yet. What is Jesus asking for when he tells us to pray these words? So before we jump into the message, I need some audience participation. All right? What I want you to do is I want you to just yell out to me, what words come to mind when people hear the word church? What'd you say? Gospel. I hope that's what comes to mind. Family? What? Neighbors? Oh, sorry. Somebody, say it again.
Body of believers.
Body of believers. Okay. It's a building. So some people think church, they think of the building with the nice steeple. Obviously, that's not in Avalon because so many people I run into in restaurants and stuff are like, there's a church in Avalon? Okay. What are some other words? I mean, what about people outside the church? What do they think of when they hear the word church?
A service.
A service? I know somebody didn't say drunk, but that's what I heard. Boring, tradition. I hate that one. Judgment. What are some other words? Hypocrisy.
Sunday.
It's a Sunday thing. That's my. I hate that one too. And I just spent 5 minutes telling you about money. Money. All they want is money. Yeah, I tried to get the elders to say, "Hey, listen, if we increase the offering, can I get a cut?" But you know, there's something illegal about that. So they said, "No, please erase that from any podcast. That was a joke." Any other words?
Jets.
I don't like you. I'm a Dolphins. All right. Let's just go on. That was just bringing demons into the place or something. Okay. What comes to the mind of people when they hear the name Jesus? Love. Salvation. Savior.
Forgiveness.
Kindness, grace, sacrifice, profit. What about people outside the church? What comes to people's minds when they hear the name Jesus?
Good man,
good teacher. Rabbi. Religion, what? Radical. Isn't it interesting that these words, these two concepts have, I mean, like very few of the words were the same at all. In fact, they were incredibly different. But shouldn't it be, if the church is the body of Christ, if the church is Jesus' tangible presence in the world, shouldn't what comes to mind when we say church and when we say Jesus, shouldn't they be at least similar? It's astounding to me that they're not. That's what this series is about. We're going to look at what Jesus wants his followers to be like. I want to say what Jesus wants his church to look like, but again, church has too many different words behind it. The church is his followers. The church is people, right? The building can come or go. That's why we have churches all around us meeting in schools. They don't need a building because the church isn't a building. That's why we have services on Saturday night in some places, not here.
that one day might happen. That's why churches meet. You know, there are churches that meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays because it doesn't matter. It's not a service. The church is a people. How does Jesus want us to live? How does he want us to live at home? How does a Jesus follower live at work? Or when they're volunteering in the community? What does a Jesus follower look like when we're playing golf? All right. You know, when we go serve, when we go out to eat at a restaurant, what does following Jesus look like to Jesus? What did he envision when he taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? What does he want our lives to look like? That's what we're going to try to answer over the next, this June series. You know, when those first disciples, when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, you got to remember who they were. They were devout Jews. Devout Jews in the first century, they knew how to pray. They prayed all the time. So what was so different about the way Jesus prayed that they said, "Teach us how to pray like you pray"? Because they prayed all the time. And he offered a model, and you know this model, that began with the words, "Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name," is the way the NIV says it. "May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, Lord. May your will be done on earth as it already is being done in heaven." If you have one thing to pray, Jesus is saying, this is it. God, bring heaven to earth. So let's talk about what that looks like. And we're going to jump in with, we're going to focus on this passage today, but "Our Father in heaven." Do you realize that Jesus never said, "My Father"? He said, "Our Father." Because heaven on earth is about a family. God's children together with their Father. It's not about you or me. It's about the community. I did not mean for that to rhyme. But it is not about you. I'm going to make that into a song. No, it's going to be a bad song. It's not about you or me. It's about community. It's about us together with God together. Our Father in heaven. Unfortunately, the word heaven here is a tough one, because when we say "our Father in heaven," don't you normally think of our Father, the guy, you know, in heaven, like far away? He's the one, the man upstairs. He's the big dog. He's the supreme being, you know? He's that higher power. But that is not this word. In fact, in the original Greek language, this word is plural. It's heavens. A better translation would be "our Father in the surrounding heavens." Theologically, it's probably not a big deal because heaven and heavens are interchangeable. But relationally, this is so significant because "our Father in heaven" makes us think God is far away. "Our Father in the surrounding heavens," our Father in the air we breathe, "our Father in the sky that envelops us." Doesn't that feel different? Our Father in heaven, our Father in the surrounding air. It is different. Our Father all around us. Our Father who walks with us, who knows us and invites us to know him. Our Father who is with us. See, distance makes all the difference in the world when it comes to relationship. My dad, he died a couple of years ago. For most of my adult life, my dad lived in Virginia, while Raylynn, my girls and me, we lived either in Wisconsin or Central Florida. I probably saw my dad every couple of years. He would come down. We probably talked on the phone 3, at most 4 times a year. And we were both okay with that. We loved each other. I had no ill will towards my dad. We were apart. We had, for most of my life, we had not lived in the same state. And so there was distance. Now, I loved him. And he loved me. And we knew that. But then in 2014, I went back to school. For about 3 years, I traveled to Virginia a week at a time, about 5 times a year. And it just so happened, and it wasn't intentional, but my school was less than an hour away from where my dad lived. So every time I would go, those 5 times a year, we would spend an evening together laughing and talking and boring my stepmom to death, because we would solve all the problems in the world. I'm telling you, we were both like, "We need to call the president right now. He just needs to hear what we have to say. Everything will be okay, you know?" and we would laugh. We were sharing stories that we didn't know about each other because we had been apart for so long. And during all of those conversations, neither of us knew that my dad had cancer. Hadn't been diagnosed, and he didn't even know there was a problem. Towards the end of the 3 years of my schooling, my dad got diagnosed with cancer, and 6 weeks later, he was dead. It was fast. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for those last few years together. Not apart, but spending time together. Because distance always changes a relationship. When I went to school, during that time we moved to Wisconsin, and Ray Lynn and my girls were in Lakeland as we were trying to sell the house, and I was living in Wisconsin for 3 months. I'm telling you now, distance changes a relationship. That's why God in heaven sounds fine, but it's really hard to get past the distance. See, if he is our daddy surrounding us, intimate conversation flows naturally. But if he is the God who is far away, he's the man upstairs. Our Father in the heavens all around us, hallowed be your name. May your name be kept holy. Do you realize that the meaning of the phrase father is so different if you're referring to a policeman or a police officer than daddy? Let me back up. That was actually, may your name be kept holy. The name, principal or police officer, are holy names to children, right? They fear a police officer. They fear a principal. They are the authority, and they are the ones who can bring it down on you. Children respect police officers and principals. My children respect me. But doesn't daddy have a different connotation? See, my girls honor and respect their daddy, but not because they're scared of me. It's not intimidation. It's intimacy and trust. See, I am their authority. But the relationship is not all about the authority. The relationship is about love for them and sacrificing for them. I would give up anything for my girls. See, daddy is a holy name. Father is a precious name because it indicates family and relationship and intimacy. See, we're invited to pray not to the God far away, but to our Father, surrounding us. We treasure your name, Father. Your name is precious to us. It is holy. It is more precious than gold or silver. God, your name is holy. We want what you want. And it moves to the may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now the word heaven here, it's interesting. This heaven is singular because there is a separation here. There is a place where God's will is done every moment of the day. And then there's a place where God's will is not done very often. God's will is being done in heaven all the time. Yet he has allowed us the freedom to not do his will on earth right now. So what is Jesus praying for? Why does he say this? What does it mean, your kingdom come soon? May it be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we often think that what he's saying is, God, help me make decisions that are good. That's what we usually think. God, your will be done. Help me be a good person. Help me be obedient to you. And that's fine. Help me stop sinning. That's fine. But that's not what this verse is all about. It is so much bigger than our decisions and our behavior. And this is what gets me so excited. I got to tell you, kingdom stuff pumps me up because it's so radical. It's so different. It's so countercultural that if we live out the kingdom, nobody thinks that Christians are judgmental, unloving, just going to a service. I mean, all of the things that people said about the church, if we live out the kingdom, nobody will say those words. They'll say they're crazy. They'll say, I can't imagine doing it. They're easy to walk over, maybe. They'll say, oh, those people, they're easy to take advantage of, or they'll do anything for you. But they're not going to say, they're unloving and judgmental. See, kingdom is a word that goes back so far for Jesus and the disciples. They all knew what this word meant. It was so familiar for them because it went back 2,000 years earlier than Jesus. 2,000 BC, when God told Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. This was the beginning of this kingdom concept of a God joining with his people to do something. And I have to tell you, in 2000 BC, Egypt was probably the only civilization in that whole, only nation, the only empire in the whole area. I mean, this is so long ago. Writing had been invented for about 1,000 years at this point. I mean, it's like, this culture was dog eat dog. I mean, it's like blessing, no tribal leader thought in their mind, I wonder how we can bless other tribal leaders. When we say God is love, that seems so normal to us because Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, and our whole culture has been based on this concept of love your neighbor, of go the second mile. That is so countercultural to human nature. In 2,000 years BC, when God tells Abraham all the families on the earth are going to be blessed through you, you know what most people would have said? Why? Who cares? Why would I take from people? I do not give and bless people. So this was just mind-blowing to them. But then hundreds of years later, Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and this is what God says to him, further helping them understand the term kingdom. Now, if you will obey me, God said to the people, and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth. For the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. Again, this is so weird because kingdom was a picture of God and his people, and they were totally cool with that. That God was wholly committed to his people, that the people were committed to God, so that together they could accomplish God's will. And what was that? To unite a father with his prodigal children, because that is the job of a priest. When you think about it, God told the Israelites, and this is like 1500 BC, I want you to be a kingdom of priests. And there's only one thing that a priest does. They hold God's hand, and they hold the hand of people who don't know God, and they bring them together. Again, who would ever want to do that in 1500 BC? It was a dog-eat-dog world. It's about survival, not uniting the enemy with God. Yet that's what a priest does. They unite people who don't know God with God. The Israelites, though, they were never able to do this. They were never able to accomplish becoming a kingdom of priests. And there was always a separation between heaven and earth. Why? Because kings on the right, they wanted power. Kings wanted domination. People wanted to get rich, even if it caused injustice to the poor. People wanted to get ahead. People wanted it to be about them. They wanted notoriety. They wanted to be on the stage. They wanted to be famous. They wanted the power. I am so glad it's not like that today. I'm glad you laughed. I'm like, that was just to see if you were staying up with me. Because people haven't changed, have we? Cultures have changed. Paradigms have changed. The way we view the world has changed. But the internal desire for me, for it all to be about me, that has never changed. So the Old Testament prophets, they're getting involved over and over throughout Israel's history. And they kept speaking out against the establishment. And what happened to the Old Testament prophets? They were ignored a lot. They were insulted. They were persecuted. And some of them were just killed brutally. But boy, they were masters at painting pictures of what the kingdom looked like, of what God wanted to do, and what God would eventually do. And Isaiah, oh, he was one of the ones who just painted the best pictures. 600 years before Jesus was born, he prophesied that one day God would bring a Messiah, a Savior, a person who would come and establish God's kingdom, God's way on earth.
This passage was quoted by Jesus when he began his ministry. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." See, this passage, all through from the time it was written, all the way until the time of Jesus, this was kind of like the job description of the Messiah. This is what everybody said, okay, this son of David who is going to come, this is how we'll know who he is. He will look like this. And so Jesus, he reads these words, that the Messiah would come and that the world would become the way God intended it to be, where those outside are invited on the inside of the family, where diseases are healed and addictions are overcome, where injustice is made right, domestic violence is ended, and human trafficking is abolished, where people share their stuff, where people are slow to blast their horn on the highway at other drivers when they just don't go within 2 seconds of the green light. Happened to me this morning. I knew I was coming to preach, and so I was like, love you, man. The kingdom, he would usher in a kingdom where people were actually kind on social media. Oh, what a day that will be. See, God's kingdom is the world's way completely flipped upside down. God's kingdom is so radically different, so completely paradigm shifting that it is unrecognizable to the natural way. So Jesus reads this job description, talks about this ushering of the kingdom that is coming, and then he says these words, or he rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Remember, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. By the way, they understood that. This was done in Nazareth, his hometown, and they tried to kill him after this one. Because they're like, isn't this the son of Joseph? Son of Mary? We know this guy. But this passage in Isaiah, this job description for the Messiah, Jesus was announcing, I'm him. I came to usher in God's kingdom. How God wants the world to be. And all of a sudden, that picture of heaven and earth being separate, all of a sudden, they start to overlap. I sent out an email this week just telling you a little bit about what was coming up this week, and I asked you to see a video if you were interested, and some of you did. You've already come and told me, and so that's where I've got some of these pictures. But heaven and earth start coming together in Jesus. God's kingdom and our kingdom start overlapping. And then all of a sudden what happens is through those who have offered their allegiance to Jesus, as we submit our will to his, our comforts and pleasures, our plans and goals, as we submit them to him, through the power of the Spirit, as we begin serving together and sacrificing our kingdom, my kingdom, for his kingdom. When I do that, and when we do that in Jesus' name, as we submit our lives to him, his kingdom comes and his will is done more and more and more on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Jesus said, that's why he began the prayer, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it's started, and his people, as we rise up and submit, as we stand up and do action by serving and loving and submitting ourselves to God and what he wants to do, all of a sudden, the kingdom, pockets of the kingdom start happening all over the earth, all over the earth. And the world begins to change a little bit more and more to become like what God wants it to be. Now, there is going to be a day when it's all fulfilled, right? Oh, what a glorious day that will be. But until that day, we are the ones who he is participating with. He is in us to fulfill this. So the church, you see, it's not a building. We are not in church. We are the church. The church is not a worship service. We don't come to church. We are the church. We're the family, a people growing to understand how differently God's kingdom is from our kingdom. Learning to live for that kingdom, even at deep personal cost. See, we understand that following Jesus, or hopefully we understand, it's not about me anymore. And it's a hard lesson to learn. Church, I love me. Avalon Church, I love me as much as you love you. And it's hard to say, Jesus, I submit that to you. But it is all about him, right? Isn't the kingdom, isn't giving your allegiance to Jesus saying that you are more important than me, your will is more important than my will, what you want is more important than what I want? See, it's about him and his way of doing things, because that's what we were designed for. And what's amazing is, and you know, every week, I read Google News all the time, and every week you see somebody has either died, or somebody is in rehab, or somebody is going to therapy because of depression. And the people that you're reading about are only, you're only reading about them because they're so famous. And you wait, you think, how can a football player, you know, make $15 million in a year? How can a star, you know, one of the stars who was in Endgame this year, he made $60 million. And you're like, how can anybody make $60 million in a year? Which, by the way, is close to a pastor's salary. How? Amen. How can anybody make $60 million a year and be so depressed or so not happy? Because $60 million a year is awesome, but it's not what we were designed for. See, what we were designed for was to live for the kingdom. And I don't know why it's true. I mean, I don't wake up in the morning and go, gosh, I can't wait to submit. I can't wait to, you know, I can't wait to make other people happier than I am. But what's crazy is when we do, we're happier. When we forgive, it's crazy. We experience forgiveness. When we heal or help make whole, we are made whole in the process. It's the most bizarre thing. When we help restore, we experience restoration. When we love sacrificially, we are overwhelmed with love. It's crazy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, followers of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, are the answers to this prayer. When we pray, Lord, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, God, I'm available for you. I can't make your kingdom come. No matter how good I am, it's not good enough. But I'm available for you and your Spirit working in me, and my feeble attempts to submit, my feeble attempts to be unselfish. He uses those to bring little pockets of his kingdom all over the earth around us. And what's beautiful is we don't do this alone. We share life together. We do this together. We grow together. We celebrate together. We grieve together. We overcome weaknesses together. We live without secrets together. We live as his kingdom people. See, church is no longer about receiving spiritual services. We are not the spiritual Walmart. We aren't. We're the people of God who are called to go out of these walls and offer Jesus' love to the world around us. And that just means going to work and no longer it being all about making money. Let's just make it real practical for a second. You know, when we go to work, of course we're there to make money, but it's also about being Jesus to those who are around us, right? Loving them, looking for opportunities to serve and care them. It's coming home and knowing that your neighbor is not just the jerk who lives next door who lets their dog poop in your yard. Oh, I hate that. Now, your neighbor is somebody who is a potential friend to know and be known by, a person to pursue and love, even if they're jerks forever. If you're my neighbor and you're in here, I love you. Thank you for being who you are. See, people are people to serve and to join with and to share our story with, to bring heaven on earth, because that's what this series is about. See, my hope is that everybody who calls Jesus Lord, every single person will see their lives differently. The world is running trying to get success, and that's what we do. That's what the world does. That's what we were born to do. Welcome to America. We want to get ahead. We want to get the most of everything. We want things to be fast, and we want things to be awesome. And we're going to do everything we can to get it. The problem is, it doesn't fulfill. Everybody knows that because we've seen it time after time after time, but we're all still wired to be this way. That is not what God wants. In church, we have the answer. Jesus died on the cross for us, rose again, offers that same resurrection life to us through his Spirit that lives in us. And so my whole goal in this series, and it's for me as much as you, it's taking the hammer and trying to get the nail one more time in the piece of wood, saying, I want to live differently. I want to be his. I want to understand the way the kingdom mindset, like I've not understood it before, because I am so inclined to live my life as an American to get ahead. And that is empty. So I'm hoping in this series, as we go through, that we really just get these vivid pictures of what God wants our life to be. At home, at work, at play, everywhere we go. Because that is where life is. See, this isn't about obeying all the boring rules. This is about experiencing life in Jesus. Not being enslaved by sin and the things that empty our soul. It's about freedom and liberty and life in Jesus. So that's what I'm praying for. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're like, that's definitely not the kind of picture of Christianity I had. And I want to say, I'm sorry. Because the churches, we haven't done a really good job of painting pictures of Christianity that are freedom and liberty and life in Jesus through his Spirit, being able to participate with him in what he wants to do in the world. Instead, we have focused on all the little ways that everybody is terrible. And we try to make that really loud because we don't want you to know all the little things we do that are terrible. So if we've done a poor job for you, I'm sorry. But Jesus, he came, God on earth, to bring life for you. And if you have not met him, you get an opportunity to do that today. To say, Jesus, I didn't know about this. I need you. I need life. Give me life, Jesus. Through the cross and the resurrection, I want to follow you starting right now. But if you're a Christian in this room, you might not be experiencing life either, because we are good Americans sometimes, good Westerners, good people, good users, good selfish people. I would ask, and actually, let me just ask you to bow your head and pray with me. I would ask that you say to the Lord, help me see life through kingdom eyes. Help me see you. As the band's coming out, I want to invite everybody to stand up. We're going to just take a minute. We're going to worship. I want to invite the prayer team to come forward. You know, if you haven't met Jesus, I want to invite you to come and talk to any one of us. If you're nervous about that, I get it. We're not going to ever put you on display or anything. But you can mark the connection card. There's also a place there. We just want to walk with you in the journey. But maybe you're here and you have been, you're a follower of Jesus and you're struggling to live through kingdom eyes. Would you just, as we sing this song, make this a prayer. God, help us see our world through your eyes. Help us participate with you. We need you. We need to be filled with your Spirit. Help us become the kind of people who bring life, your life, to others and experience your life in us. In your name I pray. Amen.